There is one Canadian educational children's television series on PBS named Caillou. Caillou is a 4-year-old boy. This cartoon movie has a nice opening song to easily sing along. So my 20-month-old baby also sings along with the chorus. This theme song tells who Caillou is and what he likes to do and ends with, I'm not gonna sing, but Caillou, Caillou, that's me. That's me. If something describes you as well as the theme song describes Caillou, you may respond to that with, that's me. Likewise, the Bible tells us about being Christians, who they are and what they need to do. As we continue our study on 1 Peter, we will look at biblical teaching regarding civil magistrate. While we saw the idea of a civil magistrate in verse 13 and 14 2 weeks ago, today we will look at the Christian's response to civil magistrate. In today's text, verse 15 through 17, Peter describes the Christian's reaction to civil government as well as his reaction to the world. So today we are going to talk about not only the civil government but also the world. It's a little general theme. After today's study, I hope you would say, yes, that's me. That talks about me as a Christian. Our first heading is our action against foolish words. Our action against foolish words. Words versus action. In verse 15, Peter encourages his recipients to do good works. Verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. He, Peter, already gave them the same advice earlier in chapter 2, verse 12. Having your conduct be honorable. But in verse 15, we see that the aim of Christians' good works is to put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. The Bible renders someone as the fool who says, there is no God, who finds pleasure in evil conduct, and who does not understand at all what the Lord's will is. They are foolish people. Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. People who persecute Christians are very foolish. They are foolish because they do not believe in God. Peter perhaps had civil authority in his mind in first century. And such foolish men also speak out ignorant talk, especially toward Christians. They mock, blame, or take action against Christians. This happened to prophets in Old Testament, to all Christians living in 1st century and 21st century, and also this happened to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jeremiah 27 I am in the region daily. Everyone mocks me. Verse 8. Reproach and derision daily. Think about Jesus Christ on the cross as well. People blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, the chief priest and the scribes, monks, he saved others. Himself he cannot save." Ignorant talk proceeds from the nature of the fool. They who stumble over Christ, our cornerstone, are the people who love sorcery, hatred, jealousies, outbursts, selfish ambitions, desertions, envy, and so on. What should we do and how should we respond to them? Do good works. Doing good work is a biblical teaching. In previous sermon, I gave you some historical background in the first century. There were numerous rumors about Christians. None of them were good rumors. The reputation of Christians was really dreadful. There was great persecution in Rome and in the territory of the Roman Empire was coming. The first and most insidious form of persecution is slander. What are Christians supposed to do? Again, the blameless behavior of Christians will indeed put foolish people to silence. Peter persuaded his recipients to do good works. He brought up this issue 3 times in his letter, 2:12, 2:15, and 3:17. And this is also the teaching of the Apostle Paul as well. Romans 12:17 says, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have a regard for good things in the sight of all men." Of course, our doing good is based on the Word of God. We see our life in the mirror of the Scriptures. Indeed, we are not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. That's our life. If you look at Acts 14, the story of Paul's missionary trip, you see unbelieving Jews stirring up the Gentiles and poisoning their minds against the brothers. Those who refused Christ used their corrupt mouths to stir up and poison others. It is true that we are living in now in such a world where many around us want to stand against us, against Christians and against the church. Sometimes they may be civil magistrates, co-workers, or families. It's also very true that culturally, politically, and socially, many want to stir up others against Christianity. However, as we read, what the Bible teaches us is that in this world, we are to do good works. And we will see that God will show people's mouth, because there will be no true accusations against the righteous. Pontius Pilate said, "You may know that I found not fault in him." Jesus. Israel's people accused Christ with their corrupt mouth, but Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. People also ignore, blame, and accuse Christians, but they will become speechless when we are doing good, which means we are relying on the truth, Jesus Christ. We are living the foundation of the truth. What they are saying is based on lies. Thus, the will of God is that we should do good. Fourth, charges against Christians must be dealt with in God's way. God's way in today's passage is to do good, which means obeying God's word and looking at Jesus Christ. Now, we move to our second heading, the clarification about how and to what extent Christians are to submit. Our second heading is freedom as a cover up for evil versus freedom as servants of God. Let me read verse 16 again. "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as a servant of God." We have heard and believed Christ has set us free, and Peter is also saying that believers are to live as a free man in verse 16. Then must ask the question, how do we not abuse our freedom? Because we don't want to use our freedom or liberty to cover our sins, like Peter points. Christians in ancient church might have pondered their liberty since they heard they were free in Christ. May I be free not to obey civil law? May I be free to arm myself against civil magistrate if I don't like them? Here is an example. The Palestinian zealots who attacked the Roman occupation troops thought that they had the political freedom. If that is true, all of our brothers and sisters living in persecuted countries should fight against their civil rulers regardless of how much blood would be shed. Otherwise, may I be free to compromise with this world as much as I want? May I be free to follow some idea from this world if I want to use it to my advantage? What does freedom mean when we talk about our society, nations, and their rulers? First, we cannot argue that we are not bound by anything but by the word of God. This is related to our first heading. We do good based on God's word. We are free but still bound by God's word. So Peter says in verse 16, we are to use our freedom as a servant of God, which can be translated to slave of God. freedom does not mean release from bondage to a state of autonomy, but release from bondage to become a slave of God. Therefore, because we are the slave of God, we are and should be bound by His word. Children, imagine that you are invited to your friend's house and your friend's mom says, "Please make yourself at home. It sounds like you have permission to do whatever you do in your own home, at their home. But would you come into the master bedroom and jump on the bed there?" You should not. Freedom comes with certain restrictions. The definition of freedom is not that whatever you want, you can do. Again, we are free, but we should be bound by God's word. But the more important thing is this. We are freed from our sin. Some people might say our freedom and liberty are the fruit of the slogan of the Enlightenment. That's the slogan of the people, by the people, for the people, can bring the right of freedom to all people. But the difference between believers and unbelievers is whether there is a freedom from sin. While people in the world only focus on freedom for men, our first reflection on the word freedom should come from the freedom from our sins. People like to fight to the achieve of their rights. For example, gay marriage, abortion, etc., which is freedom as a cover for sins. On the contrary, we should remember that we are freed from our sins to follow Christ. These differences causes different lifestyles, different ways of doing good. Romans 6:22 states, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life." We became slaves of God. We want to be sanctified through keeping His commandments. Yes, we are bound by God's word or God's law, but we are not bound in a legalistic sense, because our true obedience as believers and our gratitude to our Redeemer give us much freedom from the constraint of the law. At the same time, freedom from constraint makes us capable of joyous obedience. Therefore, it was quite possible for Christians as God's servants, freed from sins, to do good He's commanded, including honoring rulers. We saw two comparisons between the word of unbelievers and the action of believers, and between freedom as a cover of sins and freedom as the servant of God. Now, under the third heading, I want to see in verse 17, package A versus package B. Namshi. What do package A and B mean? Let us look at the structure of the sentence in verse 17. Verse 17. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. There are four imperative verbs, and you may see that two of them are the same. Honor everyone and honor the emperor, kings. These two I call the package A. Then I may categorize the other two, love the brotherhood and fear God. And I call these two the package B. So verse 17 has an A, B, B, A structure. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. First A, to honor is a proper general attitude to adopt towards all men. Honor is due equally to all men as God's creatures, and as the object of His peculiar love and care. The wicked must be honored, and those who persecute Christians must be honored. Abraham, Jacob, Samuel, the prophets and the apostles never scrupled to give due honor to bad men. But this honor is not for their wickedness. And the first B is love the brotherhood. The word brotherhood indicates fellow members of the Christian community. Here, like here, we are united to Jesus Christ and united to one another in love. We are bound to maintain a holy fellowship and communion in the worship of God and in performing such other spiritual services. Are you considering your fellows here more than any others? It's great if you are kind to your co-workers or customers at your works. However, it should cause you to be concerned if you don't feel comfortable, delightful, warm enough here in the church. Home should be home. Here is our home. The place gathering with the family. We should love our brothers and sisters in Christ. This love is so much deeper than the honor we give to all people. Next, I want to see the second A and second B together. Honor the emperor and fear God. This is a main topic in verse 13 through 17. 2 weeks ago, I preached that we should have a right understanding of and proper reason for our submission to civil authority. Simply put, we submit to the emperor because it's God's commandment. Here, in the last part of verse 13 through 17, Peter shows the rank of God and the rank of emperors. This might be a question from Proverbs 24:21. Sorry, this might be a quotation from Proverbs 24:21. Fear the Lord and the King, my son, and do not join with the rebellious. If so, you see the little changes Peter made. Peter makes it clear that God alone is to reverence or fear, for God alone is ultimate. And we see Peter ends on a lower note with honor the emperor. In Roman Empire, the emperor was the man who gave the order off with his head. The death of martyrs showed their submission to the emperor because they died according to emperor's commandment. But they didn't fear the king. Or in this case, the emperor, rather, they feared God. So they were willing to die. Yet many Christians backslide in their faith before the emperor. We should remember the differences between fearing God and honoring the king. Unbelievers might honor others and kings for their own reasons, according to their conscience. But we have a better reason to honor everyone and the emperor. Yet there is more. That is, we love our fellow Christians and we fear God alone. Today, we looked at the distinctive we have as Christians. The foolish people like to use their corrupt mouths, but we will do good before them. Unbelievers like to act out their freedom as a cover of sins, but we should act out our freedom as a servant of God, considering our freedom from sin. Many people honor all people and they honor the king, but we have a different reason to do so, and we have much more as well. To love our fellow Christians and fear God. This is you and me. This is our life in this world. This is you and me who are Christians. In this world, we do that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your word we read and studied. Help us grow and be conformed into the image of Christ through your word. Help us do good works, not for our own glory, but for your glory. And teach us to exercise our freedom, not as a cover of sins, but as a servant of Christ. In Him, we are freed from sins, but are bound by your word. Give us obedient heart to your word, and help us to practice our obedience to your word in our life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.